Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse number 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Why do we make what is seemingly so simple so complicated? This is one of those philosophical questions that will lead us to participate in a never-ending search for the right answer. It is the human way to take something that to the naked eye is so simple and make it difficult. Take, for instance, the church. Years ago, one of the monikers of the Church of Christ was that we were approaching people who were not Christians with the simple truths from the gospel of Christ. There was an ardent plea to return to the simplicity of the gospel and the simplicity of the way of the early church. Thus, the church made a commitment to approach individuals in evangelistic efforts that refrain from complicated formulas or long verbose confessionals or creeds. It was simple. God loves you. He gave Jesus for you. We are saved by grace, so put your faith in him and be saved. It was simple. That message from Scripture has not changed. It is that simple, but when humans get in the way, when emotion get in the way, it starts getting complicated. You see, at the heart of our consistent complicating of things is our own disbelief and lack of faith. You see, we say to ourselves, it can't be that simple. You mean that's all that I have to do? You mean God did all of that for me? That just can't be. So in an effort to satisfy that question, we begin to complicate it. We begin to say that it has to be more difficult, and we begin to search for and even invent more difficult ways. There's no way that God can forgive me of all the things that I've ever done. I've told a story about a friend of mine back in Buffalo named Juan, and I remember we were going to baptize him, and he was a guy that was into a lot of stuff, a lot of gang activity, and there's no telling some of the stuff that he did. And I remember I was about to baptize him, and he kept asking me, "Is the pool big enough? Is that pool big enough to wash away all of my sins?" And even as he began to progress in his Christian walk, he couldn't understand that God would forgive him of all the bad stuff that he had ever done in his lifetime. It can't be that simple. Trust me when I say that Jesus did not come to this world to give us more complication. He did not come to complicate our lives. Jesus did not come to make chaos for our lives. He did not come to make chaos for the church. Jesus told the apostles, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." I would argue that humankind, since our creation, has tried to make the simple complicated, and this is a result of a lack of faith in the Creator. Whether it was Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden who was given this simple commandment, eat of everything you see in this garden, eat from any tree you want except for one. But for some reason that seemed too simple for Adam and Eve. For some reason they believed God was holding out or keeping something from them. They lacked trust in God's word and they ate. But they weren't the only ones. Take the Syrian commander Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. He was stricken with leprosy and he inquired to the prophet Elisha for help. God told Naaman through the prophet Elisha to go dip in the Jordan River 7 times and he would be clean from his leprosy. And the initial reaction was anger and outrage. And Naaman thought that the prophet would just wave his hands over him and he was going to be miraculously healed. Something as simple as going to wash. I know the Jordan was a pretty dirty river, but something as simple as just going and dipping in some water, that's going to heal me. The simplicity of going washing in a river, he couldn't fathom. Or maybe it was Moses who disobeyed God's command to speak to the rock so it would produce water. And Moses chose to hit it with his staff instead. It seemed too simple to just go up to a rock, maybe a bit absurd, but it seemed too simple to go up to a rock and speak to it and water was going to come gushing out of it. Our human condition is one that we lack trust in God when it comes to the simple. Jesus spoke directly to this condition. And I believe he set forth an ethic of simplicity that ought to be considered as a spiritual discipline. In the Gospel of Matthew, and in the middle of what we have called the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaks directly into the soul of the human condition. Jesus speaks about money. Now, many have suggested that the Bible speaks about money more often than any other single subject. And while I don't want to make this sermon a sermon about money, dealings with money highlights the human condition of worry and trust. No one can serve two masters, Jesus says. Jesus wanted us to understand that money, just like many other things, can become idols. Money is no different from any other god. It can become the center of our attention and of our affection and of our allegiance. The OJs sung about it in the 70s, can and will make people do all types of things. They will steal to get it, cheat, step over, neglect people, fight and hurt to get more mean green. Jesus makes it plain and simple. You can't serve two masters. Either God is your master and therefore demands all of your allegiance, affection, and attention, or money gets all of your allegiance, affection, and attention. You can't have it both ways. So to that ethic, the disciple asked the question, well, how will I take care of myself without all the money I can get my hands on? And to that, Jesus answers this way. Don't worry about it. Worrying about it won't get you fed. Worrying about it won't get you clothed. Worrying about it won't add an hour to your life. Jesus didn't come to complicate our lives, but to give us a better understanding of our place in this world. If God is taking care of birds, if God is taking care of the fields, the lilies in the field, and if God takes care of this grass on the ground, why worry about life? Don't you think that we are more valuable than birds and more valuable than lilies? God will take care of us. So don't worry about money. Instead, seek first, Jesus says, God's kingdom and all of his righteousness. Don't make your life one that is caught up in the rat race, chasing after things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't be consumed with trying to add more stuff to our collection of the bunch of stuff that we already got. How many people have been out garage selling? Do you see all the stuff that's on the lawns? We've got a lot of stuff. Why would we consume ourselves with getting more stuff? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Your Father, Jesus says, knows your needs, so don't worry. Now, church, that's simple. And that's the discipline of simplicity, when we strip away all the layers of our wants and place at the center of our daily grind a solid clad trust in God to supply all of our needs. We're professing a core belief, similar to Paul's declaration to the Philippian church when he said, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." In short, we need to become better aware of what wants are and what needs are, and be willing to consider ourselves blessed even in the absence of our wants, and in the absence of needs, trust in God to supply them. A commitment to God's provision in all things will have tremendous impact on our lives and lifestyles. And if we are being honest, this is where many of us struggle. Hey, this is where I struggle. What if we had a better view of God's provision and a better view of what I need versus what I want? You think we would spend our money differently? Do you think we would refrain from loading up our lives with more stuff? Do you think we would take better steps to maintain a simpler lifestyle? Do you think that if all of God's disciples did that, there would be more resources that would be available to provide for the needs of others? Might there be an expectation by God that his disciples would take serious a more simplistic lifestyle so that others may be blessed by our underconsumption, rather than others being negatively affected or even neglected by our overconsumption? Do you know that the spiritual discipline of simplicity has far-reaching effects on the world at large? This is why Richard Foster and others consider this discipline and the following three disciplines we'll look at over the next 3 weeks as outward disciplines. They are outward because they have an effect on others. The overconsumption of goods and services often go unnoticed in our community because we are rarely directly affected. This past week, with the heat being so high, AEP was telling everyone to conserve on energy. How many of us raise the temperature on our air conditioners? Very, very few. I'm sure that some of you were good stewards. I have an excuse. I was in Buffalo. Let me be honest. Had I been here, I'll tell you, it probably would have been hard for me to do that. Because we're not really affected that much by overconsumption. Hey, it's not going to bother me, so I'll just do what I want to do. In America, we represent 5% of the world's population. Yet we use 25% of the world's resources. I don't know if you understand the severity of that statistic. We only represent 5% of the entire globe, but we use 25% of the globe's resources. Not only that, we represent 5% of the globe, and we produce 30% of the garbage. 30% of the stuff that's thrown away in this world is produced by us. So not only do we overconsume, we waste. I remember long ago, some of our parents were good about saying, you eat everything on that plate. Maybe we need to return to not only eating everything on the plate, but stop taking more than you can eat. And let's stop creating so much waste. It all comes back to this. How much do we trust God? Simplicity is a call to avoid overindulgence, greed, and it is a call to look out for others. It is not a call to hoard or to be stingy. This is not a call to poverty. If you want to take a vow of poverty, you and I are free to do so. But that is not necessarily what I am talking about or what we are talking about when we talk about simplicity. In fact, money and possessions is but one example of simplicity. Earlier, I referred to the gospel appeal that once marked our collective narrative in Churches of Christ. And while I still believe there are hints of simplicity in our message, there still needs to be a commitment to simplicity in the way we share the message of Jesus Christ. I love Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. The New Living Translation, it says this, too much activity gives you restless dreams. Too many words make you a fool. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Translation is, we talk too much. Sometimes in explaining the message of Jesus Christ, we talk too much. And when we talk too much, we add stuff that shouldn't be there. We invent stuff that shouldn't be there. So here's a simple suggestion. Shh. Speak what needs to be spoken and trust God. Not in the ability, your own ability to speak and then to, you know, sound like a fool. We need to stop making it difficult for people to hear God's message because we are insistent on adding verbiage, language, or rules that complicates God's message. God's message is simple. Listen, He loves you. He desires your love. He made the first move towards you that while you were a sinner, Christ died for you. Now say yes to Jesus. That's the message. Churches all over the world are more disunited than ever because we have complicated things. We have added rules and tests of fellowship, creeds, and other measuring devices that has caused us to refrain from working with one another in the kingdom of God. Perhaps if we return to a more simple way, we might work together better and we might actually start changing this world as we so desire to do. In our church, let's stop making it so difficult. If we believe God's word is so powerful and so transforming, wouldn't it be simpler to allow God's word to do the transforming and not fool ourselves into thinking we are the ones doing the transforming with our schemes or plans? It makes me cry sometimes to see how disunited the church is all over the world. What happens if we just made it simple and got together? Man, we would turn this world upside down, wouldn't we? Simplicity is a declaration of truth regarding our life in God. From a prison, Paul wrote this to the Philippian church. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. At last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. He also wrote to the evangelist Timothy, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Richard Foster writes this blessing in the conclusion of his chapter on simplicity. May God give you and me the courage, the wisdom, and the strength always to hold the kingdom of God as the number one priority of our lives. To do so is to live in simplicity. If you go to Google and in Google type Shaker hymn, usually the song Simple Gifts show up. Shaker hymns are folk Christian songs that early 1800s became popular and are still sung to this day and have made their way into popular culture. But probably the most famous Shaker hymn is Simple Gifts. When I read the words, you'll probably recognize it. 'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free. 'Tis a gift to come down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place just right, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we shan't be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight. Till by turning, turning, we come round right. I would go out on a limb and say this, that probably most of us in here wants to give more than we already give. I don't think that this is a radical statement in saying that many of us in here have played it out in our mind. You know, what would happen if I had $1 million, man, I would give to this person. I would give to this person. I would help that person out. And I would help that person out. Well, let's just assume you are never going to get that $1 million. But you still have that desire to give more. There is a way to give more without getting $1 million. It's to live more simple. It's to live more simple. If you have to go out to eat, do you have to go to the most expensive restaurant? Do you have to go out to a restaurant to go eat? Do you have to have steak and potatoes every day? Is it okay to have a sandwich and some soup once a week? What would happen if you replaced two meals a week with something simple like a sandwich, like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And you took the money that you were going to spend on a bigger meal, and you took that money and donated it to a homeless shelter or a soup kitchen or a food pantry. Our desire to give more can be accomplished not by winning a lottery or winning some inheritance, but by simplifying our lives. We have a lot of stuff. Again, I'm being confessional here. I struggle. I struggle when I see that brand new television out there that's got more crisper lines and more deeper colors. And man, I want that TV. But you know what? I sit down in front of a nice television that I have already. You know what? I'm good. I don't need it. I'm not telling you not to go buy your toys and stuff. I'm not telling you. I'm saying when you struggle with how can I give more, I'm telling you it's within your control. Simplify your life. And when it comes to this message that is so near and dear to our hearts, rather than trying to complicate the message, just share the simple message of Jesus Christ. Just share simply how Jesus is working in your life. And trust God. You know, one of the most freeing passages in Scripture, I think, is when Jesus says, when you lift me up, I will draw all men to me. Do you know why that's so freeing? Because Jesus says, you don't worry about drawing men to me. I'll do that. You just lift me up. Sometimes we don't have to say a word. Most of the time, all we have to do is live and display. And not make it complicated when we start adding verbiage and language and rules. And so I want to invite you to look at your life, look within your life, look at your whole life, look at your family, look at your church experience. And where it's complicated, seek to simplify. Let's make it simple, church. Let's pray. God, collectively, we want to profess that we believe the truth of Paul's declaration that you will supply all of our needs according to the riches found in Jesus Christ. God, having that firm belief, that truth, God, we are committing right now to put our faith in that declaration. We are committing to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And God, we are trusting that you will supply all of our needs. God, in our lives where we've complicated things in our quest to get more stuff, God, help us. Help us to see the folly of that. Help us to see that by simplifying our lives, we make ourselves to be a bigger blessing to others. God, as part of this country, we consume so many resources. God, help us to be mindful of that. Help us to be more mindful about conserving. Help us to be more mindful about the waste. Help us to be mindful that when we consume so much, that leaves less for others in this world to consume. And God, I pray that you would help us to explore ways that we can give more without being blessed with a windfall of cash. God, understanding that in the situations that we are in right now, there are ways that we can give more by making our lives more simple. Father, show us the way. God, I pray that you would empower and encourage those within this body who has made a commitment to simplicity, to share how they have made their lives simple, and to be courageous enough to share their experience and their narratives with others, so that we would all be encouraged to live more simple. And God, there may be someone in here who is considering taking a vow of poverty, as feeling called to do that. God, I pray that if there is someone here who desires to do that, that the church here would be a blessing and not a hindrance to that person. God, I pray that as a church, we will understand that living more simple creates a bigger and better witness for you in this world. So God, we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. If there's anything that we can do for you, if you want to share some news with us that you want us to celebrate with you about, if there's something that you want us to be in prayer for you about, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, you want to be baptized into Jesus, thank you, Jesus Christ, we will take care of that. Let's stand and let's sing this song of our need for God.